Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, our Minnesota Twins and Vikings join us to talk about becoming Yellow Ribbon teams, and we'll learn about Alzheimer's research at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
You may know that April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, but did you know that April 29th is International Denim Day? Denim Day is a call to action for people to wear denim as a visible means of awareness for standing up to the misconceptions that surround sexual assault. Denim Day was born after a 1999 trial by the Italian Supreme Court when a rape conviction was overturned. The justices stated that the victim's jeans were too tight for her attacker to have removed them himself, and therefore she must have helped him, which implied consent. People all over the world were outraged. Wearing denim on this anniversary became an international symbol of standing up against erroneous and destructive attitudes about sexual violence. National statistics show us that 1 out of 4 college-aged women will experience some sort of harassment, attempted or completed rape. I am committed to ensuring that this will not happen within the ranks of the Minnesota National Guard. Our mission is to eliminate sexual violence within our ranks and our society. For more information on the Minnesota National Guard Sexual Assault Prevention Program and resources, log on to beyondtheyellowribbon.org. I encourage you to wear denim on April 29th and further sexual assault prevention awareness.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs is the Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
Annette, we're going to talk about some sports teams today, and who's the first one? Who'd you bring with you today?
Well, today, Tom, I brought in Brett Tabor from the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings have been wonderful supporters of our service members, veterans, and military families throughout Minnesota, and recently became a Yellow Ribbon company. So Brett's here today to share with us some of the things that they're doing in their organization.
Brett, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us, Tom. I'm glad to be here.
Brett, I understand you're the marketing coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings football team.
Yes, that's correct.
And what does that mean? What's your job over there?
Well, that's a title glorified. Basically, anything that's happening inside the stadium is what I'm kind of dealing with. So, you know, we're talking about what's on the field at halftime, pregame, what you see is entertainment with the cheerleaders, the mascots, the drum line, and then also involved with some of our youth and community outreach programs throughout the offseason.
And, of course, today you don't have a stadium, but you're going to go play at the bank.
We will be at the University of Minnesota for 2 seasons, and so we're excited that fans will be able to enjoy outdoor football and come and watch us there. But we're really excited for the opening of our brand new stadium in 2016, which is obviously going to be a lot of fun for fans and for the state of Minnesota as a community at large.
I'll bet that'll keep you hopping, getting ready to move in there and moving in and taking advantage of all those new technology and the new stadium.
We're excited for it, and I know our coaching staff and players are excited for it too, as we look forward to making another run at it here in the coming years.
Brett, last December, the Minnesota Vikings became a Yellow Ribbon company. Can you tell us a little bit about that process and how it went?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really proud to be a Yellow Ribbon company. We're the first professional sports team to be a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota, and that we were the 32nd company in Minnesota to become a Yellow Ribbon company. And it was really a commitment from our ownership and from our management at large that, you know, we have a lot of members of our staff, our coaches, and our players that have connections to military members and their families. And so this was very important for us as an organization to make this commitment and to try and be leaders here in the Minnesota community with the relationships that we have with these military men and women and their families. So with that, from the top down, we just wanted to make a commitment to trying to do what we could, and that includes not only in the workplace, but on game days and with what we do to recognize men and women and these military men and women and what they do.
Brett, I'm sure our listeners have seen on the television that you've had military days out at the games, haven't you?
We have. The NFL actually has a salute to service campaign, which started a few years back. And that is a push by all clubs, all 32 NFL teams, to really recognize the military and the efforts and the sacrifices that those men and women and their families make. And the Vikings represent one game every year that is specifically our salute to service game. And last year, that was a game on Thursday Night Football against the Washington Redskins. And we will have another one of those games again this year. And so we're really looking forward to highlighting our military men and women at that game specifically.
So, Brett, I'm sure you went through the process with Annette Kuiper of going through the whole process of becoming Yellow Ribbon. But now that you've been proclaimed last December, what does it mean for the Minnesota Vikings to be a Yellow Ribbon company from this point forward?
Well, as I said, it's an honor, and we're excited to be a part of it, but it doesn't stop there with being recognized as a Yellow Ribbon company. We still have so much we can do to grow and so much more that we can offer. And so now it's really just trying to implement the plan that we have in place right now and grow upon that with, the leadership of Annette and other Yellow Ribbon companies here in Minnesota with what we can do, to recognize our veterans and not only recognition, but helping out with the families of those veterans that are here in Minnesota and active service members that are here in Minnesota. And then also, from those members of our organization that are former service members and, have family members that are connected as well, too. So there's a lot more that we can do moving forward, and we look forward to doing that in the future.
So, Brett, does this commitment apply everywhere from the owners all the way to all of the players on the team?
It does. Some of our players are the most active. We actually had a member of our operations staff down at training camp who was an amputee veteran. And, he came on as an operations member, helping the team out, helping the players out throughout the training camp process and throughout the season. And he was actually honored by Jared Allen, who is a former player of ours at defensive end. Jared has a strong commitment, obviously, to the military and his family members that had served. And Jared has a project, the Homes for Wounded Warriors, which is his foundation. And he actually provided a home for this individual that served and a home that's accessible for him as an amputee and a veteran to make his life easier every day. So you see it all the way down through our organization, from the players like Jared that have been here to, our owners that have such a strong commitment to even our, members of our coaching staff that have served and have traveled overseas to be a part of USO tours and to be involved in military operations overseas and supporting our troops over there.
We're speaking with Brett Tabor, Marketing Coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings on Minnesota Military Radio. Annette, you've been all over the state, communities all over the state, businesses all over the state. Is this your first sports team?
Yes, this is our first sports team, the Minnesota Vikings, and they really have created quite a partnership with our organization and the Yellow Ribbon organization to make sure that they have made commitments of hiring, as Brett mentioned, as well as on game day activities to just showcase their support for service members and veterans and military families.
Were you comfortable with your first visit out to the Minnesota Vikings, Annette?
I sure was. I don't know if I recognized everyone, but they sure helped me when I went over there and to speak with their leadership team, who were so accommodating. And it was amazing to be able to tell their story of the great things that were already happening within their organization that we could highlight in the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program.
Brett, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the game day activities that you've had in support of service members and veterans and their families?
Absolutely, Tom. And, we're really excited. Every year we offer opportunities to military families and their members to be able to purchase discounted tickets to our Salute to Service game. And we get a large number of military families that takes up on that offer and get to come out and enjoy the game with their family members. And while they're there, we want them, to feel recognized and to feel proud of, their service and their family members' service. And so we try and do that through a number of different ways. Year-round, we have a soldier salute program. So fans that are interested in nominating a particular soldier or service member can do so on Vikings.com. So if you go to Vikings.com, you can nominate a serviceman or woman that you would like to see recognized. And so we'll recognize one of those individuals every single game. And we do that just because we appreciate their support and their commitment. And to be able to honor them in front of 65,000 people is powerful for our fan base, but it means a lot to those men and women and their families too. So that's a special moment that we have at our games. And then on top of that, you'll notice things throughout our games, full field flags, the card stunts, and the national anthem singer being a military veteran or service member. Just a lot of elements that we put into our game production that really highlights our military support. And then, especially with the Salute to Service game that we have, and then with a partnership with the USAA over the previous years, we were fortunate enough through the Million Fan Salute program to actually raise money for the Minnesota National Guard $20,000 that basically was given to the Guard based on our fans and their support that they provided through that Million Fan Salute program. So it's a testament to our fan base, too, and the support that they have, and we're glad that we can help be a part of that on game days.
Well, Brad is an old Vietnam veteran and a diehard Minnesota Vikings fan. I want to congratulate you on becoming Yellow Ribbon, and thank you for joining us today. Annette, a sports team you brought in, the Minnesota Vikings look like another new great partner.
Oh, just a wonderful partner. We look forward to partnering with them and to sharing their best practices with other Yellow Ribbon companies throughout the whole entire state.
We're just about out of time. That was Brett Tabor, the marketing coordinator from the Minnesota Vikings, and Annette will be right back with another local sports team on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we've been talking about our local sports teams becoming Yellow Ribbon companies. And joining me today and joining me again in this segment is from the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs is our Director of Military Outreach, Annette Kuiper. Annette, that last segment with the Minnesota Vikings was exciting, but you've got another major sports team to introduce to us.
Absolutely. We have another great partner in our entire state, and that's the Minnesota Twins. And today, Brian Donaldson joins us. He's the Executive Director of the Twins Community Fund and is going to tell us a little bit about all the great things the Twins have done and the great partnership we have had with the Minnesota Twins.
Brian, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here today. Can you tell us what's your position with the Twins and how long you've been there?
Yeah, I'm the Executive Director of the Twins Community Fund and Senior Director of Community Relations, which is just a fancy way to say I'm in charge of community outreach for the team. I oversee our foundation and our community giving. I help the players with their charitable giving and the events that they do in the community. And I just oversee overall the charitable outreach and the outreach to the community of the Minnesota Twins. I've been doing it for about 14 years, and this is my 15th season, and we're excited to get going here pretty soon.
Brian, I'm a member of the board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and probably a lot of people don't know that the Minnesota Twins' wives put on a fundraiser for the MMFF every year, and they do a fantastic job.
Yeah, what a fun event. You know, the past couple of years over at Toby Keith's, and the wives, they really put it on. They drag their husbands over to be a part of it, and they end up having a blast as well, and all for the Minnesota Military Families Foundation. And it was a great event. And then our wives, like our players, and you know, they really want to get involved in the community and help out. And I'm happy that they've chosen to help out Minnesota military families.
Brian, last year I know you did a special flag raising event, and you allowed some Vietnam veterans down to the stadium to do that. And I was lucky enough to be one of them. And I brought my family and my grandchildren down there, and what an incredible evening. They just had a ball. Grandpa got to raise the flag.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we do to honor military veterans or current serving members is to allow them to raise the American flag, and it's something we've been doing since we moved to Target Field in 2010, and it's really a special part of every game. I've even heard visiting players say, that's really cool that every game you highlight a service member or a veteran who has served and how they served and let them raise the flag like you did, Tom. And, you know, we do it, you know, it's special when you did it, but we do it 81 times a year. We honor 81 service members or veterans a year, and we're happy to be able to touch that many people and tell that many stories about people who've served.
Well, I hope you can take credit for that idea, because it was a fantastic one. My family had a ball.
Yeah, you know, it's something that just kind of evolved. It's something we started with and doing, and okay, who's going to raise it the next day? Oh, let's find a military member. Who's going to raise the next day? Let's find a military member. And it's evolved now into an everyday thing. And at the first couple of years, we had to go out and find them. Now we have a waiting list of people who want to do it, and that's a good thing to be able to share their stories and have so many people want to do it.
Well, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs would tell you that we've got about 375,000 veterans living in Minnesota. And if you listen to this show, we have as many on as we can. And there are heroes out there among us, just like Tom Newman that we had on one of our shows. And a lot of Minnesotans really served their country and did a good job. Brian, can you tell us what are some of the other activities you have in support of service members, veterans, and their families?
Yeah, we really try and do a lot to honor the service members and the veterans and their families. You know, we give away free tickets to military members. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and the Minnesota National Guard helps us give away tickets. We gave away about more than 5,000 last year. And if you don't get a free ticket, if you come on Mondays are military Mondays, you can get a half-price ticket behind home plate if you're a military member or a veteran or a member of their family. So we try and honor them by getting them in the door. And Of course, we have a big day each year, like a lot of teams do, kind of a military appreciation day, and ours this year is going to be July 6th. And last year, as you said, we honored the Vietnam veterans as well as other service members and branches. And this year, plans are coming together with Minnesota National Guard to once again do some fun things to honor the military and just, you know, really let our fans and our players say thank you to the military on that day.
Brian, is it just me, or does it seem like since you moved into that beautiful new stadium, I just love it down there, you're doing more and more to support the military and the community as a whole? It just seems like you have since you moved in there.
Yeah, and I think Target Field allows us to be able to do more than we were at the Metrodome. But, you know, the Minnesota Twins have always been, the military's always been in our minds. We've always tried to help them. We started Military Appreciation Day back at the Dome. But you're right in that Target Field allows us a lot more opportunities to be able to do that.
We're speaking with Brian Donaldson, Senior Director of Community Relations from the Minnesota Twins Baseball Club. Brian, I understand there's going to be something special out in right field this year.
Yeah, and it's something we've had for the past couple of years. We put the yellow ribbon right in the ballpark. We put it right on the wall in the outfield so fans in the ballpark can see the Twins' commitment to the military, and people watching the game on TV can see it, and it really means something to us to be able to put that out there. It's an honor to have it on our wall, and you know, those are coveted spots. We sell those to sponsors and things like that, but it's the one thing out there that we don't sell that we're happy to put up there and display our appreciation and our support for the military and veterans.
Annette, you know, I used to kind of feel sorry for you driving all over the state, talking to all these communities, gathering up all these people, and now you're over at the Minnesota Vikings, you're down at the Minnesota Twins, you're over at the Gophers. Tough job, huh?
Absolutely. It's wonderful to meet all these wonderful leaders within our professional teams who want to partner with our military in Minnesota, and we just appreciate their partnership.
We've come a long way from the days when I came back from Vietnam. Now we've got corporations, we've got communities, we've got sports clubs, we've got everybody out there looking to see what they can do to help support the families of our service members. As a Vietnam veteran, it just fills my heart. It's great.
Thank you. Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program really synchronizes those efforts so that we're all working together. And our goal is to ensure that no veteran or military family feels isolated or alone within our state. And we're all working together to make sure that happens. That doesn't happen.
Brian, I think you've probably got one of the best jobs in town, community relations for the Minnesota Twins. I've heard over the years they're building ballparks. They're doing. Can you give us a little outline beyond just the military? The Minnesota Twins does a lot to help this community.
Yeah, you know, it starts at the top. The Poled family expects us to give back to our community and expects the players to give back to the community. And, you know, we give away about $1.6 million a year to help build youth baseball fields or make sure kids have equipment and uniforms to play baseball or scholarships to go to college. So it's pretty wide-ranging. You know, we always try and find a way to say yes if somebody needs help. That includes the military and veterans, but a lot of nonprofits we work with. And I'm also proud that our players take up that mantle and want to give back. They come to me with ideas. It's not me dragging them to do something. They say, hey, can we do this? Can we do that? Brian Dozier, our second baseman, he just called me today, and he said, I want to give tickets to military members and their families, and I want them to come down and visit me at batting practice. All right, Brian, we'll find a way to make that happen. So it's really great to work for an organization that places such a high priority on giving back to the community and selects such good players that want to do that as well.
Brian, it's got to be fun to get up every morning and go to work knowing that you're going to, with the Twins' help, you're going to help some people.
Yeah, we're just trying to do good through baseball. You know, it's not curing cancer, but sometimes maybe you're helping cure cancer. So it's a good thing to do.
Brian, while we've got you here, there's a special game going to happen at your stadium this year, isn't there?
Yeah, we got the All-Star Game this year, which is, you know, we've been planning for almost 2 years now. I've been to the last three All-Star Games just to see how it works, and now we're full bore into planning it. And it's not just the game on Tuesday. It's a whole week-long schedule of events and a big thing at the convention center and the Home Run Derby and parades. It should be pretty fun. I think fans will enjoy it.
You're going to have a full year, and I hope we have a good winning season. Looks like you've made some changes. The ball club looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, let's hope so. We're trying to move in the right direction. We're hoping that that's the case. And heck, if we can get more games in that ballpark, that's just more military members that get to raise the flag on a yearly basis. So,
any final thoughts from the Minnesota Twins about Yellow Ribbon?
No, I mean we're happy to help the Yellow Ribbon, the Minnesota National Guard, but they help us an awful lot too, and just helping us to reach out and give tickets away and things like that. So we're as appreciative of them as they are of us, I'm sure.
Brian, thanks for joining us today. Annette, another partner coming up with Minnesota Twins and the Minnesota Vikings. You're amazing.
Absolutely. It's been great to have their wonderful partnership and both of them taking the time out of their day to come and talk to us today and their partnership in being part of our program and the kinds of things that we can do into the future and work with them into the future among all the great things that they've done in the past.
Annette, thanks for bringing in Brett Tabor from the Minnesota Vikings and Brian Donaldson from the Minnesota Twins. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet a guest and learn about Alzheimer's research at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
In February of 2014, the Claims and Field Operations relaunched the Women's Veterans Program. They did this by reestablishing relationships with the community partners with similar interests and activating a network of personal and private representatives skilled in the specific needs of women veterans. The Minnesota Veterans Coordinator position was created and filled in order to integrate services with the women's claims representatives located in St. Paul, St. Cloud, and Fargo. The mission of the Women's Veterans Program is to ensure women veterans have equitable access to state and federal benefits and services. Save the date for the Salute to Women Veterans event on May 16th. More details will follow. You can visit MinnesotaVeteran.org in the upcoming weeks for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Dr. Maurice Diskin, a former director of Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System and a professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Minnesota Medical School. Dr. Diskin, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks very much. Pleasure to be here.
Doctor, I understand you were in the Army a few years back.
I was. It was a few years back, from 71 to 73. I was a physician in the Army, stationed at Fort Sheridan in Chicago, just north of Chicago.
Back in my era, you were in the in the Medical Corps. So, sir, can you tell us a little bit about, I know you're working on Alzheimer's research, we're going to do that, but how did you get there? What professional skills did you have to develop to get to be an expert in this area?
Well, early on in my career, I was interested in research, and before moving to Minneapolis, I worked at Illinois State Psychiatric Institute, and we got interested in doing clinical trials in Alzheimer's disease and started a very small clinic. So I started seeing patients and caregivers there, and we carried out some very early trials. And when I came to Minnesota, I was very much interested in continuing that work, and the Minneapolis VA had an excellent program and afforded me the opportunity to continue in that direction.
So, Doctor, you got interested in Alzheimer's disease several decades ago.
That's correct. That's right.
I don't remember when I came back from Vietnam. I don't recall that people were talking about Alzheimer's very much back
then.
Well,
that's a very good comment. I think there was a lot of pessimism about what could be done decades ago because Alzheimer's is a degenerative disease of the brain. And I can tell you that a lot of very good basic scientists are now in the field, and there's a lot more hopefulness about potential treatments that will be available in the future.
Doctor, as I get older, once in a while I lose a word or I can't remember a name and some of that. I would guess that there's a difference between normal aging and forgetfulness.
Yes.
And Alzheimer's. Can you describe that?
It's a very important distinction. At the Minneapolis VA, we have a memory loss clinic, and that is a frequent question that we have with our veterans who come in and are concerned about memory loss. Certainly there are changes that occur with aging. Processing speed slows, something called divided attention, which means doing more than one thing at the same time is much slower. But with mild cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's disease, there's really progression. And over time, matters get worse. And when Alzheimer's disease develops, it really is loss of independence and functional ability that characterizes that illness.
So some temporary or some portion of memory loss is normal.
Yes, it certainly can be related to age.
But then there's at some point you cross the line, and then yes. you discover that, boy, there's really something wrong.
Yes, exactly right.
And we've seen it in my generation. I guess we saw it with President Reagan.
Yes.
Because he was so vibrant and such a great speech giver, yes. and all those things. Right. And then towards the end of his life,
yes.
he suffered badly from this, didn't
he? That's exactly right. Good point.
Was there a point, I imagine you watched that as it happened, was there a point where you could tell that he had the disease and it wasn't just aging?
No, I don't think I was aware of anything in particular that made me think this has crossed the line into Alzheimer's disease during the time he was in office.
So when it is a difference between just normal aging and get into Alzheimer's, is there something that's understandable for a layman that I understand? What actually happens? Is there some kind of damage to the brain?
Yes, there is. There's a lot that's known about this. When you examine the brain of an individual who has died of Alzheimer's disease, you find there is an accumulation of two proteins. One is called amyloid, and the other is called tau. And they are found in particular parts of the brain that we know are associated with memory and functioning. And the neurons themselves, these are the cells within the brain, are damaged. So this is why it's called a degenerative disease. And the damage is permanent.
We're speaking with Dr. Maurice Diskin on Minnesota Military Radio about Alzheimer's research at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. The doctor, understand that about a year ago you published an important study on the treatment of the disease. Mm-hmm. Can you share that with us?
Sure. This was a study that came out in a journal called JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, in January of 2014. It was the results of a 5-year study in which veterans with mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease were recruited to see if vitamin E or a medication that's currently available called memantine would be beneficial. Memantine is prescribed for patients with moderately severe Alzheimer's disease and has been shown to have benefit. Vitamin E was shown many years ago to have benefit in the moderately severe patients with Alzheimer's disease. This study focused specifically on milder forms, so we say mild to moderate, to see if they would be beneficial. And we found that vitamin E in a fairly high dose, and it was 2,000 international units a day, slowed the rate of progression over the course of the illness compared to placebo. We did not find a similar benefit for memantine.
So, doctor, were these veterans that volunteered to become part of the study to see if they could once
yes.
again serve their country and help find something?
Exactly right. We had a wonderful response from veterans across the country. We had 14 sites around the country, and we're able to recruit 613 veterans for the study. For this kind of study, you really need to have numbers in the hundreds and to have a definitive result. So we were very fortunate to have that number of veterans volunteer for the study.
It's we've talked on the show before about the Million Man Veteran Program out there, where you're studying all of the military records of or records, health records of all the veterans, and learning some things there. And it sounds like in your study, you learned some beneficial things by these volunteers, these veterans stepping up.
I think so, and I think it shows that vitamin E can be beneficial. Actually, it reduced the rate of progression about 6 months over the average length of the trial, which was a little over 2 years. And we found that vitamin E was also safe during this time. The other interesting thing is that we took into account the amount of time that caregivers spent helping these veterans with Alzheimer's disease, and there was a benefit there as well. We knew that over the course of the study that the amount of time would increase because the illness is getting worse. But in the vitamin E group, that amount of time actually, there was a savings of 2 hours per day in caregiver time.
Doctor, what percentage of the veterans that are being treated at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system actually suffer from Alzheimer's? Is it a large number?
That's a good question. I actually don't know. We have a memory loss clinic, and I can tell you that the veteran population is no different from the general population, and that age is probably the most significant risk factor, and that after age 65 or 70, the prevalence of Alzheimer's doubles every 5 years.
So the very fact that we're living longer,
yes,
means there's going to be more and more people suffering from Alzheimer's.
That's correct.
Unless we can find a cure.
Yes.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what we know about how you can possibly prevent Alzheimer's.
Okay.
We're speaking with Dr. Maurice Diskin on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Dr. Maurice Diskin from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system about Alzheimer's research that he's been doing out there. And doctor, you served in the Army and you've been with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system for how many years, sir?
Well, 32 years altogether.
Does it seem like it went quick?
It sure did.
As a patient out there, it's a pleasant place to go to. Everybody does a great job, but have you enjoyed your time there?
Oh, yes, very much so.
And we've been talking about this study that you've done for Alzheimer's disease and trying to, and you've worked on that for all those 32 years, sir?
Well, actually, truth be told, about 10 years.
10 heavy years.
10 years putting it together, getting it funded, and actually doing it. It takes a long time to do one of these studies.
Doctor, I think we all know people that have suffered from Alzheimer's. But I wonder, is it genetic? If someone in my family had it, does that mean I'm going to get it?
No, not necessarily. It's, I think, genetic in probably 1% or less. And genetic has a very specific meaning here. It means that a gene would be found that's abnormal. It can cluster in families, and there may be some risk factors that are shared, but that's not considered to be hereditary and the same thing as having an abnormal gene. So it's important to remember that 1% or less.
Now, your study, as we talked about in the last segment, indicates that you've found a way to delay it a little bit.
Yep.
With vitamin E?
Vitamin E, correct. That's right.
So are you putting that into practice already?
Well, we are. In our memory loss clinic, we are offering it to our veterans. The dose, again, is 1,000 international units twice a day. And that was the dose that was effective in an earlier trial in which vitamin E was shown to be effective in moderately severe patients with Alzheimer's disease in slowing down the rate of progression.
And, of course, if anyone's interested in that, they should speak to their doctor about that
before
trying to do anything like that.
I might also mention that because of a small risk of bleeding, we excluded patients who were on blood thinners like warfarin from the study. So that's an important safety consideration.
So that's another reason to go talk to your doctor.
Exactly.
The drug interactions are a big, important factor.
That's right. Very good. Yeah.
Now, doctor, are there any other things that you can do in general to ward off either the memory loss or the degenerative Alzheimer's?
Right. Very good question. There, as you certainly know, there's enormous interest in looking at prevention. It's a very active area. As a matter of fact, the researchers who are in the field of doing studies in Alzheimer's have really wanted to focus more and more attention on prevention. So far, all I can say is things that are good for general health seem to be good for brain health. Good diet, activity, control of common medical problems such as diabetes, high blood pressure. These all seem to be beneficial. But there's nothing in terms of a medication that can be taken that will prevent the illness.
So once again, we always hear from the doctor, exercise, diet, weight control.
Yep.
All of those things will have an impact on a lot of things, including Alzheimer's.
That's right. And we think also mental activity, community engagement, all of these things keep hopefully the brain young.
So for our veterans and even the general population, if you're retired,
yes,
start walking.
Yeah.
Eat properly. Find something you're passionate about and get up out of bed and go do it.
Absolutely.
So movement, keep your brain active.
Yes.
All these things we think can help delay this and ward it off.
Yes.
So, doctor, we've just got a few minutes left. What's the future of Alzheimer's research and what's out there that might be able to help this? You've said in the first segment that we're living longer, and the longer you live, the more chances you are of experiencing something like Alzheimer's.
There's more and more of an effort to come up with a way of making an early diagnosis, and that really is in individuals who start to have memory loss but still have preserved independence or functioning. The reason that this is important is because that's where the intervention really needs to take place. It's before permanent damage is done. So there are a lot of interesting ideas out there about what can be done. None of them, I have to say so far, have really panned out, but people are interested in, for example, finding a way to clear the brain of these abnormal proteins if they're detected. I mentioned earlier amyloid and tau. There are medications that will clear the brain, reduce the amount of amyloid in the brain. This has been tried. It's a very good idea. It hasn't worked so far, but these are the sorts of things that people are going to be pursuing that may pan out eventually.
So there's a lot more research being done on it now?
Yes.
And is there a lot of research throughout the VA system with the veterans?
I wouldn't say there's a lot, but I think the VA has stepped up to the plate. I want to mention the VA Cooperative Studies Program, which sponsored our trial. It's a marvelous group of investigators who sponsor studies like this, and hopefully the VA will be able to do more in the future.
And Doctor, if our listeners want to learn more about Alzheimer's research and the disease, where would you send them?
The Alzheimer's Association has a website that's very informative. Your audience might be interested in something called www.clinicaltrials.gov. And that lists all the studies that are actively going on in not only Alzheimer's, but in medicine in general.
Doctor, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, it's been a pleasure being on your program.
Doctor, I'm certainly glad that you're out at the VA Medical Center working on this program. Someday I might need your help.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Maurice Diskin from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is David Anderson, the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. David, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
If you're a veteran, go get your DD-214 and go visit your County Veteran Service Officer.
Yep, you're 100% correct there.
And it kind of fits in with what you want to talk about today, because if they have some kind of issue that might cause them to need to file a claim, they come see their county veteran service officer, and you wanted to talk about the standardizing of the forms it takes to process a claim.
Yes, I do, Tom. The VA, over the years, has had many different forms for compensation and pension filing. They're now going to go ahead and start standardizing those forms and hopefully cut down on the number of forms. The biggest ones for compensation and pension that they're looking at is the 521-526-EZ, 527-EZ, and the 534-EZs. The 26 is for compensation, the 27 is for pension, and then the 534-EZ application is for DIC or death pensions for widows.
David, sounds like we're back in the military. There's a form for everything.
Exactly. And this, we've been, as veteran service officers, we've been using those forms all along. But as of the 24th of March, they standardized them to have those as required forms for claims processing.
Now, is there another form for if you file a claim and you go take the exam and it doesn't turn out the way you want? Is there another form for a notice of a disagreement?
Yes. The new notice of disagreement form is a 210958. Prior to that, a notice of disagreement was usually simply wrote out on a 21-4138, which is just a general form that you can tell the VA anything. It's just a blank form that you can write out in letter format. But with this new 210958 form, it gives it a little bit more information. They break it down into what you're specifically appealing, what you think the amount of compensation should be, and then it gives you spots where you can choose to either have a representative from the regional office and call you and try to resolve your notice of disagreement right there on the spot, you know, without it ever having to go, you know, any higher in the VA system.
Are these forms intended to speed up the process?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. You know, prior to that, there was a lot of back paperwork, even just filing a notice of disagreement. With this form, that tends to streamline it quite a bit.
Well, you sound happy with the new forms then.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yep.
And I suppose that's something that you've brought to the attention of all of the county veteran service officers that belong to your association so that they can get up to speed on it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, when I was at spring training the end of March, we had probably a good hour class just in the new forms so that the county veteran service officers are up to speed on it.
So once again, to our veterans out there, don't worry about the form numbers or anything else. Just go get your DD-214, your discharge certificate, go visit your county veteran service officer because they've got the training, they've got the forms, and they'll help you.
Yes, they will.
All right, David, thanks for joining us again today.
And it's a pleasure, Tom. You have a good day, sir.
Thank you. That was David Anderson, the Wadena County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Brian Donaldson, Brett Tabor, Annette Kuiper, Dr. Maurice Diskin, David Anderson, Commissioner Larry Shalado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we record live from the DAV Veterans Job Fair at the University of Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.